Good evening. We're here at Heritage Baptist Church welcoming you to our Bible study, midweek Bible study. And we are in 1 Corinthians 13, continuing with our memory verses of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. We're on verse 3 this evening. And as we get into the Bible study and memorization this evening, we're really not going to practice memorization much without folks being here. But I do trust that you're working to try and memorize these verses. It is imperative and important that we continue to try and memorize Scripture to hide God's Word in our heart. We are on verse 3 of this chapter, having previously worked on the first 10 verses of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 1 through 10 are verses that we have memorized, and if you care to go back and work on those or just catch up with us right now, we're in 1 Corinthians 13. And again, tonight looking at verse 3. But I'll begin in verse 1. I'll read down through the chapter and then get back to verse 3. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." We're going to, again, focus in on verse 3 for our time this evening. And as we do that, first of all, I wanted to kind of go over, typically on Wednesday night, we share blessings throughout the week. If somebody has a blessing that they want to share, obviously that's difficult, but without people being here, a lot of people being here. But what I do want to do is encourage you to maybe send something in. If you want to text or email or write a note to the church here and let us know how the Lord's blessing in your life, we'll share those things and continue to praise God for his blessings. I do want to thank God and praise God just for the opportunities that he's given me to be a testimony and a witness for him, to see his faithfulness through this time, to see his continued provision and care, not just for me, but for my family. I do thank God for the deacons that he's given this church. I praise God for Jamie and Bob and the tremendous work that they've been doing, helping with all the needs of the church, more so over these last couple of weeks. And I know heading into the next few weeks, I do thank God for my wife, thank God for my children. My children are blessed, and I appreciate my boys and the help that they provide. And I thank God for the men and women that are involved in ministry in and around the city. This morning I was able to be on a conference call with some other parishioners here in Minot and just talking about some of the challenges and getting ideas, for how to proceed and continue to just be an encouragement and minister to folks that are in need. And one of the thoughts that was brought up, I thought was kind of interesting, is that, this isn't the first time that ministry has been done remotely You know, when you think of the Apostle Paul, the letters that he wrote were really ways of ministering remotely. Fortunately, we're in a day and age where we can have a little more expediency to our ministry, where I'm here recording, you know, at the church, and you're able to basically go on right after I finish to listen, and it doesn't take as long. But you know, it's an interesting time, and still we have that opportunity, and so we want to remain faithful in ministering to others. So I would encourage you to do that as well. Just take the time that you've been given and think of others. Be a blessing, encouragement. Maybe write somebody, email somebody, you know, send them a text or whatever, and just try to be an encouragement to them. You know, I would say maybe turn off the electronics, try to get some fresh air, do some things that maybe you haven't done in a while. Don't pay attention to the news as much. I mean, I know obviously there are things that we need to know, but a lot of it can get really discouraging and stressful, and that's not healthy. I think healthy minds are an important part of healthy lives. I believe completely that our minds contribute to our physical health, and so if all we're doing is just, you know, constantly allowing ourselves to be bombarded with, you know, discouragement, anxiety, disappointment, it's not going to do our bodies very much good. So, you know, take care of your bodies, take care of your minds, and, you know, get into the scripture. Allow God's word to comfort you and strengthen you and encourage you and help you during this time. And then look for opportunities to minister. I know, again, that we can, you know, encourage our neighbors, encourage those that are not able to get out or would like to try and get out, but don't have the means to get out to get groceries and, you know, make deliveries and different things like that. Even just praying, whether it's over the phone with somebody or, you know, if you want to try and meet with people, you know, use precautions and things like that. But try to be an encouragement and look for opportunities to minister. And I think you'll be surprised at how the Lord blesses you in that endeavor and uses you if you avail yourself to him and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, pray and ask God where he could have you minister and be obedient as the Holy Spirit prods and works in and through your heart. And the dog is back. If you weren't listening to Sunday, the dog next door was barking, and he's barking this evening. So hopefully you get to enjoy that as well. But tonight, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." It's interesting that in this verse of Scripture, and really in our time right now in the world, what is being talked about are the material and physical sacrifices that are being made. The Bible says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor." It's talking about the material wealth that one has and basically abandoning that or getting rid of that or selling that or doing whatever you can in exchange for a very noble and a very charitable act of giving, feeding the poor. You know, you hear people and celebrities in particular and famous people always talk about the issue of hunger in the world and how, you know, we're on this quest to end hunger. Well, the Bible says that even if we were to take everything that we own, all of our goods, and used all of our material possessions to help feed the poor, that if we're not doing that out of a heart of charity, if we're not doing that out of a heart of love, and not just a human love, but a Christ-like love, then really what benefit or what good is that? It's of no profit. The Bible says it profits us nothing. In thinking about this, I thought about the rich man and Lazarus. And, you know, the rich man didn't go to hell because he wasn't gracious to to Lazarus, the rich man went to hell because he didn't know Christ. He didn't know God. And whether we have a great amount of material possessions or whether we have a small amount of material possessions, really, that matters little. What matters is our Christ-like love for our fellow man and how much we're displaying that, whether or not we're giving great amounts, whether or not we're giving small amounts. Regardless of what we give, it's the heart that we give it with. And the Bible also talks about not just the material sacrifices, but it talks about the physical sacrifices. It says, and though I give my body to be burned. You know, in the early church days, there were martyrs who would not recant. They would not, disavow their claim on Christ, their faith and their trust in the person of Jesus Christ and his ability to save. And they were martyred, they were killed, they were burned at the stake, they were stoned, they were crucified. And the Bible says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And again, it's not talking about just the kind of sacrifice where, you know, you hear about soldiers in the military who dive on top of grenades or do different things and sacrifice their bodies for their fellow man. And though that might be a display of love, it's not a Christ-like love of charity in the sense that though they're sacrificing themselves, are they sacrificing themselves with a Christ-like love? And are they living in a way that points people to Jesus? You know, all our sacrifices, whether it's material or physical, don't mean anything if we're not pointing people to Christ. The Bible says that Christ gave himself. And the reason he did that was because he was the perfect sacrifice. And when he died, his display of love for us was Christ-like in that because he was Christ. So us simply dying doesn't mean that we're showing Christ-like love. And I've said this before, if we're not willing to tell somebody, especially somebody that we call a friend, about Jesus Christ, can we really call them our friend? You know, somebody that we're not even willing to try and spend 5 or 10 minutes telling them that Christ loves them, sacrificed for them, and is the way of salvation, you know, but in the same vein, we would say, oh yeah, I'd die for this person, they're my friend. Well, it's not the same type of love. Again, you can love somebody, but the Christ-like love is willing to share Christ with others. And that's what the Bible's talking about. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, have not that Christ-like love, it profiteth me nothing. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. The Bible addresses in 1 Peter 3 and in 1 Peter 4 these different kinds of sacrifices. It says in verse 14 of 1 Peter 3, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That being ready always, that's what we're working towards when we memorize Scripture. That's the purpose it's part of the purpose and the reason why we meet together and work on memorizing the Word of God. Because the Bible says that we're to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And again, a Christ-like demonstration of his love. The Bible continues in verse 16 of 1 Peter 3, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good manner of living in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, Christ for you and me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Again, alluding to the fact that it doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice we're making, whether it's material or physical. If we're not demonstrating and displaying the love of Christ in our lives, then really it's to no profit. Again, in verse 16 it says, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, as though you were somebody that really was evil, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Again, your good way of living in Christ. That's the important part, is that we don't just try to love people humanly. We try to love people the way Christ loves them, and in his likeness. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says in verses 15 through 19, 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 15, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Again, there in verse 19 it says, "Them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing." So when you go back in 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, is it for the sake of Christ? Though I give my body to be burned, are we suffering for the name of Christ?" Because without that, without charity, without Christ-like love in everything that we do, in all that we sacrifice, the Bible says it profits us nothing. So, again, I think during this time, you know, we see lots of good things, and we hear wonderful things happening, you know, people being kind to one another, and we should certainly be kind to one another, but we should also display Christ-like love, and in displaying Christ-like love, what we're doing is we're letting people know that the reason that we do these things is because of Christ in us. You know, it's great to do good things, but it's even better to do good things in the name of Christ, magnifying his love in and through our lives to those that are around us. So I encourage you again to look for those opportunities to minister, even if it's just, you know, writing a simple letter, or, you know, offering to get groceries, you know, and tell people, say, "Hey, you know what? If nothing else, I just want you to know that I'm doing this because Christ loves you. And the reason I'm doing it is because Christ loves me. And because of his love for me, I want to display that love to you. I want to display that love to others and have the opportunity for others to know Christ as well." And again, just simply praying, taking some time with somebody, trying to be an encouragement through prayer, whether they're a believer or not. You know, I mean, obviously believers, we need prayer too, amen? But non-believers, you know, you'd be surprised at just simply offering to pray for somebody that you know probably doesn't have a testimony of Christ, probably, you know, doesn't have any kind of faith whatsoever. But you say, "Hey, you know, is there anything that I can pray for you during this time?" You might be surprised at some of the answers you might get. And again, an opportunity to display that Christ-like love. So continue to work to memorize Scripture, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Work on that this week. Continue to work on 1 Corinthians 13. Again, we're in verse 3. It's interesting times, I get it. These are some strange days, but I am encouraged. I'm excited about the opportunities that God's going to give. How long this is going to last, who knows? You know, it's that's maybe a little bit part of the disconcerting mindset of it all. But I'm looking forward to some opportunities that the Lord's going to to bless and use out of this. One of the things, again, that was discussed is, you know, perhaps if Easter isn't able to take place, you know, the second Sunday in April, that we postpone that. Obviously, as believers, we don't just celebrate the resurrection one day a year. Amen? And so that's a wonderful thing. We can celebrate the resurrection anytime we want. And I know that people have celebrated Christmas in July before, so it was talked about maybe celebrating Christmas and Easter. Or Christmas and Easter. Easter in July. This is part of the problem of speaking to an empty room. I don't get the reactions. I have to catch myself when I say something that's not off, or that's a little bit off. But Easter in July. And so as a church, you know, we have some things to look forward to. And I think that's part of the encouragement, is that we look forward, you know, to what God has in store. You know, think about people that you have that you can minister to. And, you know, look for those divine appointments and opportunities that God might give to you to minister to other people, so that, again, you can display Christ's love in and around those that he puts you into contact with. Before we end for the evening, I do want to just go over the prayer list. There's a number of things on this prayer list. But if you have something to add, or if you would like something put on the prayer list, or if you need a prayer list, let us know, and we'll get that added to the prayer list. We'll get you a prayer list. Even if we have to mail it out to you, or however we can get that to you, we'll make sure that you get one. We do update these prayer lists each month, but we have on the prayer list, and I'm just going to go ahead and read through to pray for Heritage Baptist Church, Pastor Tim and his family, our nation, the president, the state and local government leaders, for political unrest, for peace officers, for the Minot Police Department, the Ward County Sheriffs, and the North Dakota State Troopers, for the Minot Air Force Base senior leadership, for our military members here and overseas, for our deployed members' families left behind. Pray for boldness in sharing the gospel. Pray for Brother Gary Huey and his dad, David, at the Trinity Nursing Home. Pray for Brother Paul and Ms. Sharon Chapler's friend's son, Michael, who's away from the Lord. Pray for Brother Gary Huey for witnessing opportunities, two fellows named Hassan and Zhao. Pray for patience with his coworkers. Pray for Peter Brigham's salvation. He's a friend of mine back in New Hampshire. Pray for the Awana, for our staff as well as the young people. Pray for the youth, for the school year, those that are in school, and especially those that are going through this time with online teaching at home. Pray for our college students. Pray for future events for Heritage Baptist Church. Pray that we would live a courageous Christian life. Pray for Minot Dakota Hope Clinic, which is the pro-life clinic here in town, with Brother Tim Knudsen. Pray for the rise in suicides across the armed forces. Pray that, again, senior leadership and others would have opportunities to minister to prevent such things, and that the Lord would allow the Holy Spirit to reach these people through different avenues to prevent them from making that choice. Pray for Lauren Vale for CPA exams. Pray for renovation projects for the church. Pray for Ricardo Alexander. Pray for Richie Bagwell. Pray for wisdom for voting in the future elections. Pray for Ray Ullery, whose persecution at Work Center, possible investigation for sharing God's word on the topic of homosexuality. Pray for the Ulrich family to sell their house here in Minot. Pray for John and Karen Ulrich for their employment. Pray for Jonathan Huey, Gary's son, who's away from the Lord. Pray for the Dickman family to sell their home, as well as young Joseph. Pray for Bob Meager with his first sergeant challenges. Pray for Miss Emily Nelson with some of her personal struggles. Also continue to pray for witnessing opportunities in the workplace. Keep Ricardo Alexander in prayer, retraining into the equal opportunity career field. Pray for current tensions between U.S. and Iran. Pray for more U.S. forces deploying to the Middle East. pray for Paul Chapler's son, Daniel. Says to attend Trace Diaz in the spring, which has been postponed. But pray for Daniel and for Daniel's wife, Amy, and their relationship, and that God would just move and work in their family. Pray for the Nolans, our missionaries to Arctic Canada, who are on furlough. I was talking with another pastor who supports them, and they're in a difficult spot right now because with churches not having service, them being on furlough, needing to go to churches to both give an update and try and maintain and raise their support, it's kind of at a stall right now. So I don't really know. I haven't had the opportunity to talk with Larry, but I don't know exactly what his plan is. But I'm sure it's a very difficult time, and a lot of decisions need to be made. Pray for Brent Baker for his employment after retirement, for his family. Pray for the Moffitt family and the passing of their 9-year-old daughter, Hannah. Pray for Genesis in Cameroon with the legal issues that he's facing. Pray for wisdom with the budget and the business meeting. We weren't able to have that meeting this last Sunday. We do have a completed budget, so we praise the Lord for that. But we also would like to have that meeting so that we can get that budget approved and continue to move forward. Pray for those in Nashville, Tennessee, with the tornado that went through in the beginning of March. And then for health and healing, pray for Collins, who's in the nursing home. Pray for Ingvald Odlin, who's at home and has been in the hospital, but is at home now recovering. Pray for those that are all those that have been affected by the coronavirus, which is practically everybody in some way, shape, or form. But more specifically, those that have contracted it and those that have gotten sick. Pray for their healing. Pray for Jamie Dickman's grandparents and their multiple health concerns. Pray for Gail Connor's granddaughter Zoe and for healing from tuberculosis. Pray for Miss Amy Chapler and her healing from the back surgery. Brother Tom Messer is doing well. The church is doing well. Pray for Miss Kelsey Carter for her leg and for healing and the surgery that she'll have to have again coming up. Pray for Miss Chelsea Sargent, Russ and Lisa's daughter, and the treatment that she needs moving forward. Pray for Marilyn's friend Pat with the health concerns she has. Pray for Danielle's mom, Shelley, and her neck pain. Pray for Denise Sosa's dad, Carlos, and the chemo that he's experienced and gone through. Everything seems to be doing well right now, and so we praise the Lord for that. Pray for Ann Russo and her heart medication. Pray for Susan Olson, who's been struggling with MS, has different wheelchair challenges. Pray for Larissa Schultz. It's a co-worker of Stan, who's pregnant and due in July. And pray for Casey Anderson, who's a co-worker of Brent Baker, and for just the anxiety that he's been feeling over everything that's going on, and for salvation, possibly. Not sure where he's at spiritually, Casey Anderson. Pray for Mike Nelson, whose dad, David Nelson, has PTSD and is in transition going into a nursing home. Pray for his wife, David's wife, Elizabeth, in dealing with that transition as well. It's Mike and Sharon Nelson. Pray for Miss Mary Carlson's sister-in-law, who's gotten some bad health news, possibly mono and some other things. Pray for Tara and Luke's marriage. Pray for Hannah Harvey, who has lupus and fibromyalgia. And then a number of unsaved family and friends, Matham, Justin Berg, Rob Myers, Jarna Kyer, Justin Gandy, and Britt Vale. Please continue to pray for our missionaries, Larry and Pam Nolan, Lef and Francis Benj, Brandon and Beth Fisher. And then praise the Lord just again for God's faithfulness, for the new visitors that we've had here at Heritage, for all the renovations in the church that have taken place and all that will take place in the future. for God's abundant blessings in 2019, for the Graves family and their new arrival, for our home that the Lord has provided, for the visit that we were able to receive with the Nolans, that Felipe Sosa is back from his deployment, and that Carlos Arreta is doing well, gaining weight, and back preaching again, from what I understand, that Danielle Alexander's MRI results were good, and that Daniel Chapler is back home. Some unspoken requests from Richie Bagwell and from Paul Chapler, and then continued prayer for Miss Cecilia Meager. It's Lori Dingle is on here, but Adelaide was born. Is Adelaide correct? Layla. Who's Adelaide? Adelaide is the Graves. That's right. Lori Dingle's daughter, Layla, was born March 20th. No. It says March 26th delivery, but that was... She was born. I know she was born. I saw the picture. Didn't get the T-shirt, but I saw the picture. But we're praising the Lord for that. And then just continue also to keep Brian Kramer, who's the athletic director down at South Prairie. His wife, Cindy, has cancer. And then for Miss Sharon Chapler's mom, Mary, who had a seizure, went to the hospital and is back home. They did do some tests but haven't gotten all the results back from that yet, just because of the strain on all the hospitals from everything that's going on with this pandemic. But again, the greatest tool that we have is prayer. So we will pray and then end for this evening. And appreciate your prayers for the church, for its members, and for all these on this prayer list. Heavenly Father, we do again praise you and thank you, Lord, for who you are and for all that you've done. We thank you for your word, how it challenges and changes our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to be cleansed by it, to memorize it, to meditate upon it, and to hide it in our hearts, Father, we might not sin against you. Lord, we thank you for its power to change lives and for the faith that you hold us up with and strengthen us by. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities and help us to have boldness to seize those opportunities to minister to those that you put in our path. Lord, so many times we might feel inadequate, or the devil might whisper that we're not important enough or mean enough to allow us to move forward in faith, to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else in Christ-like love. Lord, help us to recognize your love in our lives. And though we might not understand everything, Lord, we know that you're worthy. And because you're worthy, Lord, we have the opportunity to just be faithful, to move forward in that faith, and to allow your love to be displayed in and through our lives. So I pray that you would make it so and allow that to happen. Lord, I lift up these requests. There are many different needs, physical needs and work needs and salvation needs. Lord, you know each and every heart. And I pray, Father, that as we seek to minister to those that are around us, that we would look for ways and opportunities to share the gospel, to share your word with others, to encourage them, Lord, to encourage ourselves in knowing that we have your truth. And Father, as we are bombarded by the negativity and the anxiety and the discouragement from the media and those that are just in a panic, Lord, help us to have a calm. Help us to have an assurance in who you are, and that you've not abandoned your throne. You knew everything that was coming, and Lord, you know the end result, so that we can, again, continue to press forward in faith, and that we can allow you to take what the devil might have intended for evil and turn it into good. Lord, there are people that are hurting. There are people that are questioning. There are people that are seeking answers right now. And Lord, for those of us with faith that have your word, that know the truth, it's an opportunity. So Lord, again, give us that opportunity to be a testimony, to be a witness for you, and give us wisdom in the words to say and how to reach out, and not just to make sacrifices, Lord, out of obligation or duty, but out of a Christ-like love and desire to see others to come into a right relationship with you by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, again, I thank you for our church. I thank you for each and every one. I pray that you would just continue to watch over them and that you would use us as a body to minister to one another and to minister to those around us. Lord, again, I thank you for the deacons, for Jamie and for Bob, and the encouragement and the blessing that they are to me and helping me. I pray, Father, that you would unite us as a body, that we would not give Satan a foothold, that we would continue to press forward in faith, Lord, knowing that even though it might look like troubling times, you're still the captain of the ship. Father, you're still God on the throne, and so we can trust in everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. And we don't have to fear, and we don't have to panic. We can be encouraged, and we can rejoice, and we can sing songs, and we can praise your name, and we can continue to look to your word and be strengthened and helped by it. So, Father, again, I pray for all these. I pray for salvation for those that are lost. I pray for healing for those that are sick. I pray for encouragement for those that are discouraged. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.